How many daughters are signed to be journalists or businesswomen while their poor mother is stewing herself over a hot stove, and their tired father sewing on his own buttons and wearing undergarments full of holes because their mother is too busy to find time to mend them. And Beatrice is an up-to-date girl, and has no taste for home tasks. Poor, deluded mortals. Sighing for something to do while the world is overburdened with many things that need to be done. 791. I have found that man's happiness lies within himself, if he only has time or the inclination to find it. The modern sports and pastimes are all right in their place, but I think there are many Freddies who could do better service at home, sawing wood than playing golf, and I am sure the exercise would be as beneficial. 792. I lived in an old-fashioned time, when father and mother were king and queen of the household and dearly beloved by their subjects. I have worked almost entirely upon the earth plane since my transition, and therefore I am familiar with the conditions of earth, and I find that the simple things of life are slipping from the majority of mortals faster than they think. There are few, too few homes where all of the family are gathered together at eventide. You have gained much, commercially, but you are fast losing your hold upon one of the fundamental principles of good government, namely, a well-governed home. The people of 100 years ago lacked many of the advantages that are open to all today, but one thing they did not lack, and that is, a community of interests. They felt a keen enjoyment in the success of a neighborhood. The principle of every one for himself and the devil for the hindmost one, may be the right thing now. But it will not take long for him to get the foremost one in a society of that kind. 793. So many people will not allow themselves to think of a future life. They fear, if they stop to find an answer to Job's question, they will not be progressive. They fear that they will not march in the vanguard of that vast army of educated fools, who have outlived the superstitions of their fathers. If they fail in any undertaking, they say, "Oh, well, that was my fate, or destiny did thus and so," but if they succeed, they strut around like a turkey cock and say, "See what I did." They are losing that oneness with God, nature, that is one of the best blessings man has had allotted to him. They may scoff, and sneer, and hoot, and howl, and it will not disturb the fact that man is immortal. But their hideous noise is keeping others, who are anxious to know what the morrow will bring forth, from hearing the sweet music of the spheres, that is falling like a blessing and is bringing peace and hope to those whose eyes have grown dim with watching. 794. There are many things around you, each day that are filled with more of mystery than is life after death. For example, does any man know what guides the birds and wild fowls, so unerringly in their flight at this season of the year? Is it instinct alone that guides them over thousands of miles of plains and mountains, past attractive fields and lakes that seem to promise them all they shall ask for in the way of food and shelter? When you can answer this, perhaps the fact that those who have gone before you can come, and see, and talk, and walk with you as of old, will not seem so absurd. 795. Before you destroy the trusting faith of your neighbor in a future life, be sure you have something better to offer him. Never try to extinguish the spark of hope, but, better far, to feed the flame. Spiritualism, pure and simple, without the fopperies of reincarnation and theosophy, is broad enough for all who seek to know of a future life. Listen to the tiny raps about your homes and endeavor to establish a code by which your unseen friends can communicate with you, and above all, do not forget the little things you will find to do each day, and there will be no more sighing, "I don't know just what to do," for you will find so many things to do that you will not have time to sigh. Signed, James Charles. 796. Comes the Spirit Wesley and takes a stretcher of canvas 14 by 17 inches, exhibits the same to the circle, all of whom pronounce the canvas entirely clear of any painting, returns the canvas to the writing desk, and straightway the artist comes out to the desk, takes up the stretcher of canvas and raises it up so that the circle could all see, and the circle again pronounced the canvas clear, and the artist begins work in his usual way, working over the canvas near 1 minute, has the canvas passed for the circle to examine, and they see a picture partly complete, and canvas is passed back to the artist. He spends more time at work over the canvas and in about half a minute, pronounces picture finished and passes the same over to the circle, who see the picture is now finished and that it is the same picture that was partly finished a moment ago, and the whole time occupied by the artist in making this picture was 1.5 minutes, and the guides tell us that the spirit name of the little girl whose picture it is Zephyr. 797. Thomas Paine, for the benefit of the visitors who desired to hear his voice, made a short address in the words following, to wit, "Friends, a religion that cannot demonstrate its claims is of no value whatever. But we bring to you proof palpable that man continues to exist in conscious being after death. It is glorious to know that when you lay aside the mortal body, you, yourself, have escaped from that body. And you are marching on, and on, in an imperishable body, a body that, with yourself, shall leap the boundaries of the dreary tomb and live on, and on, during the ages of ages, in a fair and beautiful clime of a glorious country, wherein is no night, save the darkened conditions of your own spiritual sight. Then, my friends, place yourselves in such conditions as that, and when you shall quit the tenement of clay, your inner eyes will be already open to the glories of the immortal condition, as your unfoldment shall carry you on and on and on into ever-opening new glories as your eternal inheritance." Cyrilla or Cyrilda. 798. One most gloriously white-robed lady spirit standing in front of the trumpet, said, "On our side of life, in upper spheres, we are as one great family. We regard and respect each other as beloved brothers and sisters, and none can come and abide with us who has not left all selfishness and been trained to regard and feel that all people, everywhere, are brothers and sisters equally, everyone with every other one, entitled to share in the abundant bounties of the great banqueting, everywhere outspread, on tables of our gracious Mother Nature. And I am come to try to say to your world, that mortals should at least try to consider each other as brother and sister, and prove to your own inner self that you do so consider the members of the human race. By helping each other, you should learn to know that when you leave the mortal conditions and cross to this side, you will find every act of your earth life recorded in your own book of life, and the dropping off of the mortal body serves to make that book legible to you, so that there, in letters of living light, you will be confronted with every selfish act you ever did. You will have credit for every act of goodness, but cannot get away from the gaze of every act of selfish treatment of your fellow being. For all things connected with your own lifeline are recorded and as graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. Dear friends, remember that nothing, whatever, of your whole mortal career will escape you when you reach this side. Then, O mortals, listen to these words, as uttered to you now, to be the pleading voice of myriads of your friends in the higher spirit life, asking you to so live on earth that your career there may be a benefit to you when you reach the spirit world. My name is Cyrilla." 799. Several ancients appeared, one at a time, of various nationalities, among them Cicero, who delivered quite an oration, evidently in Latin, but none of the circle were sufficiently acquainted with that languages to interpret. But Redfeather said that a spirit told him that the oration was to the effect that the people of earth are all absorbed in the things of earth, that instead of looking aloft towards spiritual light, their whole intent is fixed on the earth, earthy. 800. But this spirit is able to vocalize with wonderful and powerful expression in volume, intonation, modulation and euphony of voice, accompanied by elegant and significant gesticulation. 801. As to the homeopathic practice of small doses of medicine having great potency according to volume, Sam answered that the efficacy is not the medicine but the spirit influence accompanying the medicine. This subject is thoroughly discussed in Rending the Veil, pages 326-330. Seance number 50, December 14, 1902. 802. Henry Griff present as a visitor. After the usual preliminary exercises and Dr. Reed's salutation, the spirit, Professor Denton, made some remarks and suggestions introductory, in part, as follows. 803. I am much pleased to meet those of you who are able to be present at this hour, and would have been pleased had weather and health permitted the other faithful ones to be present. The unfavorable weather and break in the circle much interferes with conditions, but, friends, we shall do the best we can. I hope our friends, to be our friends, and we would ask them to permit us to be their friends. I hope our friend, Mr. Griff, will remain with us as long as he possibly can. And Denton gave way to the spirit, 804. Wesley Ebber, who stood forth in magnificent makeup, in an eloquent, earnest manner, but little, if any, inferior to Thomas Paine's best efforts, made a strong plea for mortals to provide the physical means for the establishment of a magazine for the dissemination of spiritual literature among the people, the spirits giving the principal matter for such magazine, in the same manner that they gave matter for Rending the Veil and Beyond the Veil, as well as for the book now in progress, saying, substantially as follows, 805. Friends, we have given new plans for conditions that would enable us to do a far greater work than we have heretofore done. If you will carry out those plans, on your side, fixing for us a permanent station on the physical side, you will have given to you such phenomena as will greatly surpass any, as yet, ever given to your world. We must have a station, we have things to give that the world must know to the end that, whereas, they now see through a glass darkly, the smoke of the glass may be cleared away and the light of the eternal world shine brightly through. 806. When you reach this side you will surely find ample reward for all efforts and every sacrifice you may make to open up a way by which the mists of ignorance obscuring mortal vision may be cleared away, but some people are ready to give everything to know the truth, and so soon as they find it, they have learned enough, not another penny to spread the light, they have seen enough for themselves, and care not for more, and act as though they had discovered some way by which they can slip their earthly treasures into the spirit world, at the last call, and they must go on saving and making to the last minute so as to have great quantities to take with them. Well, friends, this money making and money getting, will not always last, nor can they smuggle one penny of their hoarded wealth into the spiritual kingdom. They must leave it all, and only as they shall have used it for the benefit of needy mortals will they have any credit therefore, in their book of life, and one way to lay up treasure in heaven is to so use the earthly treasure as to assist in enlightening your world concerning heavenly things, and who can better tell of heavenly things, than the heavenly inhabitants, if permitted to do so. 807. When Wesley had gone away, immediately there stood another in the place where Wesley had been standing and gave his name as Jackson, and said, well, that fellow hit the matter pretty hard. He went right down to the bottom of some things. He's a peach, that spirit is. Well, now, friends, I am really glad to be here, myself, and I am glad, too, that you are here. I wish I could talk like that fellow that was just here. I would try and tell you something. But I suppose I shall not be able to say a great deal. 808. When I was on earth, I doubted, but when I got to the spirit world I had only to look around and know. My great-great-grandmother was a spiritualist, but I was not going into the hobgoblin business with her, and just about my first lesson, over here, was to find out that ignorance excuses no one. The little child, ignorant that fire will burn, sticks its little hand into the pretty fire, and no difference how pitifully the little fellow may cry and how much its dear mama may plead its ignorance, the cruel law goes right on hurting the child. Some people, like myself, had refused the foolish light while on earth. When invited to learn the truth, no, thank you, one world at a time. I think if I get through this world it will be in plenty time to look after what is to follow. I have something to do beside looking after shadows. They can't send a fellow to hell for what he does not know. We all soon found out that our ignorance was itself the hell, and especially, willful ignorance. And we were not a great while looking around for light with a repenting earnestness, and soon, the shadows began to flee away. I met Grandfather and he helped me along and I gladly accepted his proffered help. But some get so set in their stubborn ways of rejecting the truth while on earth that they remain, many years, in the spirit world, wandering around in pitiful darkness, hunting for the myths and shadows that awed their souls while on earth. Many of them hunt around many years but fail to find any god, such as they had expected, and it goes very tough with them to find that their earthly conversion was of no avail and that they have to be converted all over again. I was not much of a preacher on earth, but I am making many converts over here. I did not think I could handle this business successfully, but I find I am getting on nicely, though I guess I had better go before I spoil something. Good night. Dumlon 809. And next comes the artist and makes an oil portrait in colors, with the usual brevity, and test features, and the guides inform the circle that the picture is of a Brahmin, Dumlon, and is made the frontispiece, and therefore, figure number 1. A. Then a spirit who gave her name as Lady Aline. B. And a guide of Mr. Griff gives the name, Leola. C. And one of Mr. House's guides gives the name Voaf. Seance number 51. December 18, 1902. Bro. At this seance was Marion Purcell, of Payette, Idaho, as visitor. After the opening exercises and salutations of Reed and Denton, Drive Reed took a tablet and stood in front of cabinet door and wrote very rapidly, the circle being able to see the movements of the hand of the spirit as he wrote, and the spirit, while writing, was talking to various members of the circle, and as each page was written, the spirit tore the leaf so written upon from the tablet, handed it to the secretary, and so to 12 leaves, and the writing was found to be in the following words, 811. Other spirits have, more than once, inquired why I did not visit the workshops of the sculptors in the spirit world, and give you a report of the work they are doing. Therefore, I have made it my duty to call upon one of these workers. He is a tall, well-proportioned man, and is known to other spirits as Strength. This is his spirit name, and he earned it through his marvelous work. You would never dream that the place which looks so much like a conservatory weighted down with its many blossoms was a workshop, but such it is. 812. I found Strength at work upon the figure of a lovely child, and after I had explained my errand he laid aside his tools and said, "Now, then, sir, I am ready to assist all I can. I am not delicate about talking upon the subject of my past, and perhaps, that is what has won for me the name of Strength. Many, after viewing my work, have said, now I feel that I shall have more strength to perform the tasks that are before me. The spirits are brought to this place by other spirits who have known me for many years. Perhaps it is best that I tell you something of my earth life, before I take you through yonder room which I call the book of my life to the present time. I am a modeler in clay and a sculptor, but upon the earth plane, I did not have the means to pursue the work nature has designed me for. I used to wonder, but I do so no longer, why it was that I was born into a family who were without any artistic taste. 813. When a small child, I would take clay and mold it into the shapes of animals and the heads of my companions. I was not only discouraged in this work, but the results of my work were always destroyed wherever found. 814. We lived in a mountainous country and my father was a great hunter. I was taught to follow his calling, and I am sorry to say he often led me into bad company. At last, I became a brigand and my mother was as eager to hide the goods I stole as I was for the money they brought. Years passed on, filled with debauchery and wickedness, until I was an old man, and leader of the band. At last there came a night of terror, when we were surrounded and I was killed. 815. When I awoke it was very dark. I called aloud, I cursed and swore, but my companions did not come to me. My voice came back to me in echoes many times, and I began to think I was imprisoned in a cave. I arose and groped about in the darkness. I tried to find the walls that I was so sure were sending back the echoes, and although I walked for hours, the walls were not reached. I began to wonder why I did not feel thirst or hunger. Surely this cannot last much longer, I thought, and for days, yes, years, I groped around in the darkness, always reaching for the walls that shut me in. 816. At last, I saw a wee light that glimmered, as if it were carried by one who was moving rapidly. I cried aloud and the light advanced toward me. As it came nearer, I saw that it shone from the form of an old man, and I was seized with a terrible fear. I could not speak a word. Fear paralyzed my tongue. My son, the old man said, thou art in spiritual darkness, how can I aid thee? Poor old maniac. I thought, if I could only get out of here. I would not care for the darkness of night, but I stood dumb. He came close to me and put forth his hands to touch me, but I fled from him, and for a long time after that, whenever I would see one of those small lights I kept very still for fear he might visit me again. At last, my dread of the solitude overcame my fear of the man, and I called for him, but instead of the old man I expected to see, as the light came nearer, it was a little girl. What do you want, you poor old man? She asked. I threatened her with everything I could think of, if she did not let me out of my prison. She told me that I was not in prison, but that I was dead. Dead? Replied I, me dead? No, not dead. I tried to catch her, and she was gone. 817. After a long time, she returned with a man. This man talked with me and convinced me that I was dead. He took me to my old home, for one thing. Then he tried to find out if I was not sorry for the pain and misery I had caused upon earth. I was hard and unrelenting, but he was kind and patient, and in some way, he ascertained my love for modeling, and one day he brought another spirit with him. 818. This spirit greeted me, but said little else, but he began to mold the likeness of the companion of my boyhood days. He made mothers, fathers, and others' faces as perfect as I had known them in life, and just as I was getting interested, he left suddenly, without a word, and I was in the dark once more. He paid me several visits, before I asked to be allowed to work with the clay. 819. Little by little my spirituality began to grow, and I began to repent of my many sins. At first, I could not work unless some other spirit was present, and I was in darkness when alone, but as I developed spiritually the light began to shine from my body. I will not burden you with a recital of the many things I was compelled to do before I reached this place. 820. At first, I worked as my instructor did among spirits in the darkest conditions. Then I conceived the plan of this workshop. It is very different from what it was, at first. When I first took up my abode here everything was crude. Not a flower was in sight. But, as my work began to uplift others, gratefully my friends brought me many flowers and my home grew to be as you now see it. 821. I shall now show you the book of my life, and you can tell your friends about it if you feel disposed to do so. I followed him into what, apparently, was another room, but before I was through, I felt as if I had taken a long journey. The statues in Strength's Book of Life are as perfect and lifelike as the group in the seance room tonight. It told the whole story, beginning with a little child, playing about the picturesque mountain home of Southern Europe. His boyhood, his manhood, and his old age. I saw scenes that made me shiver. He has not let an ugly deed escape him. After passing by the history of his earth life, we came to him bound by spiritual darkness. They were all there. The statue of the good old man, the beautiful child and her companion, and the one who benefited him most, the sculptor. Strength told me that the statue he was at work upon, in the other room, was intended for the home of a spirit who is just beginning to see the light. He and others furnish the likenesses of their deliverers to many. I mean by this the figures of spirits who are the first to bring another spirit to the consciousness of their low conditions. Many good and kind spirits have not the time to stay with a soul through the various stages of their development, and these statues keep before their owners the lessons the spirits taught, who came to them, when they were in such sore need. I talked with other spirits who are sculptors and they are anxious to see beautiful statuary adorn the public places and the homes of earth. One cannot help being benefited by a visit to Strength's workshop. He does not call it a studio, for one feels that if he, Strength, has been able to outgrow the crimes of his earth life, that no one need grow discouraged, but with a brave heart push on until they, too, shall be surrounded with flowers and light. Friends, do you think that you have courage or strength enough to have your life placed before the world as Strength has placed his for the benefit of others? Lilith 822. A woman materialization stood between the circle and cabinet door, and engaged herself at talking in good clear whisper, so that all of the circle who were not more or less deaf, could and did distinctly hear what the spirit had to say, which was in these words: "My friends, I am standing before you tonight, in evidence of spirit return, and to call your attention to the great significance of the privilege you mortals enjoy here, and to ask you to deeply ponder in your minds, what a seance room means, what it is for, and to what purpose you ought to consecrate it and yourselves, and to try to realize your relation to the seance room and to those whom you expect from the other side of life. Here your demeanor should be as though you expected to meet your friends, your relatives, perhaps a father, a mother, you are going to see. You should remember, too, that there are those on a lower plane than yourselves who are to be pitied. Many there are who are in dark conditions, and you reciprocate our coming when you heartily join with us in sympathy for those people. You should duly consider the environments of those below you. You may think they can and ought to develop purity and nobleness of character and conduct, but environments you know not of are in their way. You are not perfect yourself. Perhaps you are far from it, and to lift the shadows from your soul should go out in sympathy, instead of condemnation, toward unfortunate ones, until your inner being could exclaim, in true sympathy of spirit, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they say or do. My name is Lilith." 823. Mr. Purcell, who has taken the trouble to travel 1500 miles on purpose to witness the phenomena here, was very much blessed in full recognition of several of his friends who appeared to him from the other side of life. Especially did his deceased wife Emmeline and sister Sarah make known their identity to him. At request of his spirit wife he remains over for Sunday seance. 824. And one, very richly dressed, having clothing sparkling with points of light, especially was the waistband so decorated, gave her name as Charity, of the band of brave hearts. 825. Then a Spanish lady spirit exchanged a few words in Spanish with Dr. Sucas, who learned something of that tongue when he resided in Mexico and became a teacher of that language there. Seance number 52, December 21, 1902. 826. Regular circle present. Mr. Purcell remained at request of guides, and Dr. P. J. Ellsworth, of Oskaloosa, Iowa, new element, except that he had attended a few seances with this medium elsewhere, is admitted as a visitor. A. In consequence of some disturbances, and the presence of the new element, it seemed that the band were not able, or thought best not to carry this seance as an intellectual one, except to a limited extent, and that more for the benefit of the new element, than for the book. However, there were many excellent phenomenal occurrences, of several of which we take note. 827. After all preliminaries were concluded, there came forth a woman spirit quite gaudily dressed in white garments, and after standing a moment, dematerialized downwardly, and forthwith there stood on the carpet at the point where the first woman form had dematerialized, another woman form, clothed in white, and so much taller than the medium that the whole circle conversed of the fact, and after walking about on the carpet, and courtesying to the circle all around, instantly vanished out of sight of the circle, and suddenly, a third lady emerged from southeast corner of cabinet and walked out near to Mr. Purcell, perhaps his mother, but not being clearly recognized this spirit stepped backwardly into the cabinet, and as she did so, Thomas Paine came out of the cabinet at southeast corner. Passing the lady at the curtains, Paine is 5.5 inches taller than the medium. When the secretary stands by the spirit, Thomas Paine, the secretary and Paine are seen to be the same height. When the medium stands by the secretary is seen to be a whole head taller than the medium, but after standing a moment Paine pronounced the word friends so loudly as to startle most of the circle, so that some of them screamed. And the spirit returned into cabinet and in a moment came out again, advanced far out into the room, that those who had not before seen him could behold his colonial costume and commanding form, then taking his stand near to the secretary began speaking, saying in loud musical oral tones, 827. Friends, I cannot see how people can doubt their own existence. Yet there are people in your world who would claim to be scientific that do pretend to doubt that they have existence at all, in reality. This shows how densely ignorant it is possible for some people to be. Such people could not be expected to believe in spirit life. No amount of evidence could be produced that would penetrate such low mentality. 828.